Our scripture this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. May the Lord add his blessing from the reading of his word, and you may be seated. When Barb is gone, I struggle with trying to, it just seems very off, and so my timing and everything seems very strange to me this morning. I'm going to blame it on the fact that she's gone, or maybe I should blame it on allergies. I can always use that one, too. The grass fields are still pollinating. Barb was at work the other day, and some of the grass farmers started cutting, and they discovered that it's still greener than it should be. One of the old guys was saying that this is the heaviest grass seed growth he's ever seen, and it's still pollinating, and it shouldn't be by now. So, yeah, fun stuff. But we are in 2 Corinthians, and we have finally gotten through the introduction. Although, I kind of have to say that Paul gives this salutation at the beginning, the first two verses, and then he just basically kerplop drops right into this message. And this is almost feels a little bit introductory in a sense, and yet it's very, very involved stuff that's going on here. And so it's a rather swift entry into the letter. It kind of, I think, the way that he goes into this and some of the things he's going to talk about here are maybe tied back to the fact that he introduces himself as an apostle. And as an apostle, there are things that come with that. And part of what comes with that are some of the maybe less than great aspects of being an apostle, some of the persecution, some of the struggles and things. And that's kind of where he's going here. He's going to talk a little bit about struggles and challenges and difficulties and getting through those and what the benefits and blessings of those are. But as I was studying on this, you know me in words, okay? If there's words there, I'm going to just chase them down. And I'm going to maybe do a little bit of geeking on the Greek this morning. Don't pay too much attention to the Greek aspect of this. There's words here that both in Greek and English caught my eye. And I want us to think about some of those because there are connections between the Greek and the English that sometimes, you know, if we don't know the Greek, we get by with the English. But when we look at that Greek and we see, okay, Paul wrote this, he used particular words, and those words connect to other words. And when we look at how those words go together, and then how they've gotten from there to English, we start to see a little bit more about what he was going to, or was trying to say. And verse 3 begins, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And, you know, right out of the chute, I read that word blessed, and okay, what is the Greek behind blessed? What does blessed mean? What is he trying to say here? It's a very common expression, and yet it's one that maybe sometimes escapes us a little bit. The Greek word is eulogetes, which has a similarity to an English word. If you've been to a funeral, you have probably heard somebody deliver a eulogy. And eulogy derives from the same Greek word as eulogetes. And the common sense between those two is that they are a praise action. They're a message of praise. And so when we hit this idea of blessing, it's that same sense of praising. When it says, "Bless the Lord your God," you know, this is praise Him, worship Him, honor Him, say good things about Him, think good things about Him, think of what is good and wonderful and amazing about our Lord. This is how we bless the Lord, is that we praise Him either verbally, in our hearts, whatever it is, but that we recognize how great He is, and we reflect that back. We formalize that. We express it in some kind of structure. It's not just a vague idea out there, but we actually put it together into a coherent thought. The NIV and some other translations start this as "all praise to God," which is maybe a little bit of a more contemporary way of saying that "blessed be." But the idea is of praising, giving honor and glory to God because of who He is. And he starts that, you know, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So praise, honor, and glory to God who is the Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the heart of almost everything Paul writes. This is where he's always going to come back to, is who is Jesus? What makes Jesus so important? And because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, because of the salvation that we have, because of that, he comes back to it over and over and over again. And this is, you know, what has God done? Why do we bless God? Why do we praise Him? Why do we honor Him? Because through Him comes Jesus, and through Jesus comes our salvation. And so praise God for offering us a means of deliverance from our sin, a way that we are going to be saved. That's really where he's going in that. You know, praise the Lord. We have a hope. We have salvation. And He is, then, he continues, "the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Now, we got a couple of interesting words here. And the first one is mercies. Father of mercies. What are mercies? And we have a tendency to read mercies in a very simple way. We think of it just as, well, it's good things and gifts. But the idea of mercies here goes back to, again, one of these Greek words that has a lot of different derivatives from it, but it comes from a very ancient idea of sympathy and lamenting, that is, you know, crying out in anguish and suffering alongside. And so this idea of the mercies is empathetic. I was going to say empathetic. Empathizing and caring. And so when we talk about the mercies of God, this is God's empathy. The fact that he laments our sorrows, that he laments our suffering, and he cares about us. And so the mercies of God are going to be tied to that idea of caring. There's another place where Paul mentions this, uses the same word as in Romans 12:1, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And, you know, there's multiple sermons there. But he uses that word mercies, by the mercies of God, by the fact that God is sympathetic and caring and loving and is concerned for you, who is compassionate toward us in our needs. And so he has extended that compassion into what we typically think of as mercy. That compassion comes out in Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about the mercies of God, it's God's compassion for us, his sympathetic lamentation for our sin that is then coming out in the person of Jesus Christ. Goes back again. God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's maybe a single verse that defines the mercies of God. That's it. God's love demonstrated in Jesus Christ. So when Paul says, you know, he's the Father of mercies, that again, he's saying he's the one who gives us a means of salvation, a means of deliverance from sin. And he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we hit that word comfort. And of course, if I'm going to talk about words in this passage, we definitely have to talk about comfort. If you were listening while I was reading that, you saw consolation and comfort repeated over and over again throughout that whole passage. And comfort is another one of those words that has some interesting history, and the history of the word, the derivation of that is really a kind of an important part of what Paul is meaning when he uses it here. Because the root word that we get translated as either, you know, comfort and consolation and things, that they're all coming from the same root. The root word has as one of its primary meanings to come alongside, to help and support, you know, to stand beside somebody and be with them. And the Greek then got kind of into Latin and confortus, which is the Latin word for comfort, means to be brave together. And I loved that. I loved that this idea of being brave together. It somehow seemed to really capture the idea that how do we endure the things that come to us? How do we handle these? Well, God is the God of all comfort, is that he provides us a means to be brave together. Now, he's not saying here, be brave together with one another, but with God. That he is the God who comes alongside of us, and by standing together with God, we have that bravery. By standing alongside God, we are able to endure and able to get through all of these things. Now, again, you know, when we read comfort, we tend to think of, okay, I'm comfortable. I have a really nice lazy boy recliner and I tilt it back and if I do that, I'm out cold. But, you know, comfort, we think in terms of nothing being wrong, nothing hurting us, nothing that is a challenge to us. And yet the idea of comfort, the idea that we have in the Latin, the idea that we have in the Greek that Paul is using here when he talks about comfort is not one of the suffering going away, but that God is alongside of us through it. That we don't stand alone, but that we always stand with him. One of the flaws in throughout history. This is not I was going to say in contemporary theology, but it's not necessarily contemporary. It's surfaced multiple times throughout history, is the idea that in Christ there is no suffering. Well, most of us can testify that even if we are in Christ, life does not always proceed smoothly and easily and softly. Sometimes there are struggles and challenges and pains and all sorts of issues. And yet, we have the promise that God is alongside us, that He is a God of comfort, that He comes alongside, He walks alongside, He supports and strengthens and helps. He enables us to be brave together with Him, that we can stand in that. And so, you know, kind of going on with this idea of being alongside, I'm going to go clear back to the Greek word. Now, I took us through the Latin with the brave together. The Greek word that Paul is using here and that shows up in a variety of forms throughout this section is parakalesios. You got that, right? Don't even worry about it. But as soon as I read that, parakalesios, it brought to mind an English word that shows up in theology. And you may have heard the word paraclete. And when you hear the word paraclete, it's not a small bird, that's a parakeet. Paraclete, we usually think the Holy Spirit. That's where it's used. It's used in the sense of the Holy Spirit. But if you go to John 14, we find how this is actually used, and we see the connection. John 14:15. Oops. 14:15, not 15:14. 14:15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." And he will give you another parakalesios. This is where paraclete comes from. It goes through the Latin, from the Greek, through the Latin, into English. And it means helper. It means one who comes alongside to support and assist. And now we've got Paul talking about God being the Father of mercies, who is pointing at Jesus Christ as the true mercy that gives us salvation, and the God of comfort, the God of the one who comes alongside. And who comes alongside? Who is the helper? The helper is the Holy Spirit. Paul has just laid out the Trinity right here. You've got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together in us to help us. And so the God of all comfort, the helper that we have, comes alongside. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, supports us, encourages us, gives us the ability to endure what we are having to go through. And this is one of those things that as Christians, we are never alone. Even if we are completely isolated from every other human being in the world, we are not alone because the Holy Spirit lives in us. He dwells in us to be that support, to be that helper. And so we have Him as our comforter, as our supporter, as our helper in everything that we go through. Now, just in these few verses that I read here this morning, in verses 3 through 11, Paul uses a form of that word 10 times. Now, the NIV, it only shows up 9 times because they use a little bit different manuscript base. But 9 or 10 times that word is used over and over and over again. Paul is harping on this idea of comfort, of coming alongside, of supporting, of helping, that the Holy Spirit is with you to help you. And so then he gets into why all this is going on. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Oh, tribulation. There's a fun word. We see tribulation, and we see in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and in verse 6, now if we are afflicted, so we've got tribulation, we've got sufferings, and we have afflictions. Now, they're all set here in contrast to God's comfort. These are the things that are standing that give us a need for comfort. And while there's a couple of different Greek words that are used, they're very, very similar in their sense. And this is one of those places where sometimes you see different words and you see there's a distinct reason why Paul might have used two different Greek words. I was looking at this, and the more that I looked at it, the more I came to the conclusion that Paul used two different words here just to be a little bit more interesting. Because he's saying the whole, him. It's on the previous page of my notes, and so I have to go back to be able to pronounce it correctly. Yes, I put pronunciation keys in for those things. Paracliesis. That he uses that same word over and over and over again. And so when he's talking about the tribulations and sufferings and afflictions, he's moving between these different words kind of back and forth. I think it's simply to create a little bit of interest in the way that it's written. But what they are, and what stands out in those words, is they both refer to external things. An external tribulation, external suffering. And I think this gets us into a very interesting kind of thought, because the sense of the word is to be pressed down or oppressed. Something that, you know, an external pressure or burden that's being put on us. Persecution is another idea, that someone is attacking. And so all of these things that are talked about, where he talks about the sufferings that we're going through, the tribulations, the afflictions, all of these places, he's talking about these external things which are causing distress. And they're things that come to us from the outside. And they're also things that parallel the kind of sufferings that Christ endured. And Paul is working within a particular framework here, is that he is setting this up in relation to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. That the sufferings that we endure as believers are related to the sufferings that Jesus Christ went through. Very particularly, he is not talking about suffering here. He's not talking about tribulation or affliction as a consequence of sin. And, you know, this is maybe we don't want to always think about this, but there are consequences for sin. You know, I saw a reader board one time that said, life is hard. Sometimes it's hard because you're stupid and make bad decisions. And I thought, yeah, okay. Sometimes that really sums it up. Basically what it says is sometimes life is really hard because we're sinners and we sin. And the penalties for sin, the things that happen, the consequences of our sin make life hard, make us suffer, make us deal with these things. Paul's not addressing those things. What he's addressing here are external sufferings because we are following Christ, because he is at the center of us, of what we are doing. And so that we're following him, we now have things that happen to us because of that, and that because we're dealing with those things that are happening there, then we have that comfort. So if you think about Paul, and he's leaning on his own life here, he's leaning on his own life. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. So here's the sufferings, the things that Paul's going through. Think about Paul's life. Because he was following Christ, he was persecuted. We get that. Okay? That throughout, okay? He's stoned and left for dead. You know, he's jailed, he's beaten, all of these things that happened to Paul. And that was because he was following Christ. But along with that, you know, there are other things that maybe we don't think about quite as much. He suffered from hunger. He was tired. He dealt with the dangers of travel. He was shipwrecked. Various things that happened to him that weren't a case of persecution. You know, he was not being persecuted when he was tired and hot and hungry and thirsty while he's walking from town to town. That's not persecution, but that is a challenge. That's an affliction, a suffering that came because he was traveling on account of Christ. See, he's broadened the idea of the afflictions and the sufferings from being strictly those things that are persecution to being the other things that are a consequence of following Christ. We sometimes don't want to think about the fact that following Christ carries a cost. We forget that. We would like to have everything continue to be as nice and smooth and easy, regardless. But if we are following Christ, sometimes there is a cost that come with that. Sometimes there is persecution. Sometimes there are simply things that are normal challenges, normal difficulties. You know, you have to, and particularly, you know, in Paul's case, he's, as a missionary, he's going to different places. He's having to leave his home. He's having to travel. He's going out and reaching into different areas. We all have to sometimes step outside of our comfort zone because we are following Christ. There's nothing like, you know, finding yourself in a position where you have to, in front of people or whatever, take some kind of a stand because of your faith in Christ. You have to not do something or do something because as a follower of Christ, you can't do what everybody else is doing. And there's a cost that comes with that. That whether there's any persecution attached to it or not doesn't matter. Sometimes it's a struggle just to have to do what's right. We have a hard time with that. It's a lot easier to do what's popular than it is to do what's right. And we need to be able to see that, yes, sometimes that is attached to following Christ, is that we have to do the thing that is right. But through it all, we have that comfort. We have the Holy Spirit alongside of us. We have God standing beside us to let us be brave together with Him to endure whatever those kinds of things are. And Paul he's laying this out, that the things that he has endured, the things that he is going through, these different kinds of challenges and sufferings, are for his benefit to be able to better reach the church, specifically in Corinth, but all the churches in general. That, as he says here, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Well, what is afflicted? You know, if we have to endure these hardships and sufferings, we're doing it because we want to be able to minister to you. We want to be able to reach you. We want to bring the gospel to you. And if I don't walk that dusty road, then I can't get to Corinth and I can't present the gospel to you. If I don't put up with the persecutions and hecklings that went on when I first came to Corinth, I'm not there long enough to establish the church. You know, these were the things that Paul is saying. You know, I went through these things. I endure these things because when I endure them with God alongside of me to give me the strength and to be my support, I'm able to bring that message of salvation to you. And as I bring that message of salvation to you, you then are able to have that support, that comfort, that strength alongside of you, that you can endure those things. This is a passing along in a sense. Basically, what he's doing is he's saying, what I have suffered built me up so that I could build you up. But the strength doesn't come from Paul. You know, he's not saying, yeah, I got really good at enduring suffering. I built up my suffering muscles by doing lots of suffering exercises. No, he says, I was able to get through that because the Lord was alongside me, and the Lord will be alongside you as well as you go through these things. He's going to go on, and throughout the letter, he's going to talk a lot about tribulations, both his own tribulations and those of his readers. They're all, everybody's kind of struggling at this point. The church there has got a lot of things going on, a lot of problems, and they need to look to their helper. They need to look to the one who will stand alongside. And so he wants them to understand that if they look back to Christ and they see the mercies of God, they see that in Christ that there is mercy, that in Christ they can see that God truly, truly cares about them. You know, if we look at what Jesus Christ did for us, we can absolutely see that God does care. And then we know that. He says, look at the comforter. Look at the one who comes alongside of you, who stands beside you and lends you his strength, lends you his courage to endure these things. And he builds them up in that. When we, as Christians, encounter these external struggles, and some of them are a consequence of following Christ, that we encounter things because we are following Christ. Sometimes I think there's things that are just part of daily life, and maybe they're not tied to that. They're part of the general human condition. But in all of those things, that these external troubles, these things that are coming on us, we have an internal and eternal help. That we have the Holy Spirit in us. The blessing that we have received from God, and particularly the blessing of having the Holy Spirit, is that it allows us to identify with Christ as we go through these things. And one of the things people, why does Jesus do what he does in his ministry? And you think about the fact that Jesus was hungry, Jesus was thirsty, Jesus was tired and dirty and hot. All of the human experiences that he went through, we can share in. We are part of that. We have that same experience. We have that common relationship. And so his suffering, in that sense, rather, not the suffering on the cross, but his suffering of just the human existence and the comfort that he can then extend to us is a promise that allows us to lean on him. Paul sees those tribulations, the sufferings that he's gone through, these challenges, and the comfort that he receives from the Lord, he sees that as a benefit to the Corinthian church. He says, this does good for the church. The fact that I have been through this allows me to better be able to serve the church. I can come alongside them. I can bring them a stronger gospel message because of that. So when they experience those things, they are able to do as Paul did and look to the Lord, look to the Holy Spirit as their support. And we can do the same thing. You know, as we experience things, we can see, yeah, Paul went through a lot of stuff. And as he went through that, the Lord supported him. The Lord came alongside. And anything that we go through, the Lord will come alongside. He will support us. He will give us the strength. He will give us that help. And as we go through and we are helped and encouraged and strengthened through that, we are then able to be a comfort and an encouragement and a helper and a prop to others who are going through things. That we're able to take that gift of God and we're able to extend it to others. Those who are other believers, those who are not believers, that we can show that God cares because he is willing to support us. He's willing to come alongside of us. He's willing to be that encourager for us. And so as Paul is laying out this long list of you know, God who comforts us in all of our tribulations so that we can comfort others, this is for us that if we look to the Comforter to receive, again, that helper, that strength, to receive his help in getting through what we go through, we are then built up and enabled to be able to share that and pass that along to others so that they might come and experience the same blessing, the same encouragement and comfort and help. So as Paul has gone through, as he has suffered, and he has used that to help the church in Corinth, we can use our experience to help others. Let's pray that the Lord will build us up to be able to do that. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we thank you for the blessings that you give us, particularly the blessing of Jesus Christ, that we are so wonderfully, wonderfully blessed in his gift of salvation, his willingness to sacrifice himself for us. Lord, I pray that we would be able to lean on you as we deal with the challenges of life, that we would allow you to be our helper, to support us through these things, and that as we are supported and strengthened, that we would be able to pass that on to others. Let us be encouragers, Lord. Let us be helpers to the people around us. Let us build up and not tear down. Let us encourage, not discourage. I just pray, Lord, that we would be able to become like Paul, like Jesus, able to help people to grow close to you, to see you, and to turn to you, Lord, for their own salvation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.